Hey guys, my name is Kim Sanders, and welcome to You Are Worth the Work, a podcast that reminds busy moms that following your dreams ain't all rainbows and roses, but you are worth the work that it takes to thrive in this life. After you listen, please rate and review the episode. Also, if you want to connect with me, I'll have that info for you in the show notes. Let's get started. Hey, you guys, thank you for coming back for part two of my conversation with author Angela D. Coleman, the author of The Art of Chilling Out for Women. If you have not listened to part one, the previous episode, pause this, go back and listen to part one, and then come back. In part one, we talked all about her beginnings and her journey, just as a lifelong writer and how she even got here. We talked a little bit about how this book and other books were born. We talk about her nonprofit, The Sisterhood Agenda. So go listen to that. And when you're ready, come back and listen to part two. We're going to talk more about the book and we're going to get deeper into kind of how this book can help women and not just women. And I've got a bonus for you at the end of this episode. So take a listen to part one if you haven't already. And then come back, listen to part two, and stay till the end for a little bonus. All right, let's get to it. For you, what does your chilling out look like?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like a perfect day, a perfect chill out day. Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, see, I still love being productive. I mean, that's the thing, is that a perfect chill out day still includes some moments of what I would call work. I'm so thankful that my work, I don't even think of it as work. I think of it as things that I do, things that are on my agenda that I want to get accomplished today. Mm-hmm. So your accomplishments, your productivity can still be such an important part of chilling out, because I do think of it like a yoga routine, where mm-hmm. sometimes you got your heart rate up and then you bring it back down, then you get mm-hmm. it up and then you bring it back down. And then you're mindful throughout that whole process. So it's like, for me, I'm able to ground myself and start my day with my morning ritual of prayer, meditation, and exercise. And then, and I don't necessarily exercise every day. I also listen to my body to see what it wants to do. More like every other day.
Okay.
And it also depends on my schedule and if I'm traveling and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'm kind of into work mode, with technology, but then I take breaks with my technology. Mm-hmm. I'll look out the window. I'll appreciate, especially now, it's so beautiful. It's summertime. Everything is green. We've had a lot of rain. If I see animals, I hear animals, I like to go outside,
mm-hmm.
go for a little walk. I like meditative walking. With hiking, I can meditatively walk, but I don't have to go on a trail. I can just meditatively walk around the building or go to a park or go to a lake and mm-hmm. just relax, have my lunch or have a snack mm-hmm. there, and might talk on the phone or text a few people and then come back and do some more work on my computer. I like to appreciate the things around me and the people around me. So I like to incorporate things that make me feel good and people who are positive. That's my group.
Yes. Yes.
So, but to have that and to get to that point is a process, and it took work previously and mm-hmm. action previously to be in the position that I am now so that I can do that. I also love to dig in the garden. That helps me with stress management, connect to the earth, connect to Mother Nature, and appreciate how things grow and change and the cycle of life, quite honestly,
mm-hmm.
And how I can make a difference in nurturing and also being nurtured. So touch, I always like to incorporate touch, so I see my friends, my daughter, my significant others, and I give them hugs and kiss, and we might hold hands, or my cat Princess will be like, it's time for me to have some affection. She'll jump in my lap.
But then does she walk away from you?
She lets me know when she wants attention.
Right.
And I give it to her. I'll let her know I want to give her attention. And I'll give her attention anyway. I'll like just pick her up and rub her and grab her. And she'll be like, okay. And then she'll go with that for a while. So I get my feel goods in during the day. Mm-hmm. I just make sure I get it in during the day. So now it's just so natural and easy for me to do that. Mm-hmm. There was a time I think I had to remind myself to do these things, to stop, get away from the computer, to get away from the phone.
So then how did you do that? How did you start kind of training yourself
right
to step away, to really appreciate what's around you, to chill out? Like, how did you teach yourself?
Well, first with starting with the morning rituals really helped mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And then also literally scheduling breaks mm-hmm. in my day, as in mm-hmm. walk away now. That's what I'm supposed to do at 12 noon. I walk away now. I don't have to do that anymore, but I used to do that. But I would schedule, or just break in capital letters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that what that break means is you're just stopping whatever it was that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody who's naturally driven and really likes to be accomplished and do things, get things done, you can work through your breaks and be like, I'm fine. You will be fine. But eventually, you know, maybe for the moment, you'll think you're fine. But forcing myself originally to take breaks, even when I didn't feel like, quote unquote, taking breaks, was mm-hmm. important for me to get into the habit of taking breaks and looking forward to and really realizing my breaks when I took them. Mm-hmm. Like that this is a break, and that it's so good. It makes me more productive, not less productive.
Absolutely.
Take breaks.
I mean, that's what I'll mentor other moms, and I'm like, do not eat lunch at your desk. Mm-hmm. For the love of everything, don't get up. Even if you go outside, like I work from home. And so, but I will not eat lunch in my office. I get up, even if I just go out on the patio, even if I like go drive down the street and come back, it's just not, if that break, I think, gives you a clearer head.
Absolutely.
It kind of takes a weight off, and it just allows you to disconnect just for a little bit.
Exactly. And luckily, even looking out your window, like fortunately mm-hmm. here, we have our sister camp summer enrichment program. We're at a beautiful campus. It's a boarding school, and they have a pond. And sometimes I see the horses and I see geese in the pond. I love it.
It's a
wonderful break. And I encourage people to have access to sunlight that's energizing. It's part of the feng shui principles that I also include at the end of every mm-hmm. every section.
I have feng shui, I have
Mother Nature, and I have gemstones in addition to the call to action as part of the holistic prescription. And if you don't have a big window, a picture window, you can have artwork that inspires and that mm-hmm. also brings you back to nature 24/7. You know, when I moved from St. John to the Baltimore, Washington area, it was in the middle of the winter. And when I landed, I left from 84 degrees and sunny to 18 degrees and chilly and nighttime. And so one of the first things I did in my very empty, you know, home was to put a bunch of green plants around me mm-hmm. because that was nurturing and grounding and reminded me of the Virgin Islands. And it reminded me of being healthy, being strong, being vibrant, and that after dormancy, you have life again. And that this is a part of the cycle. And it made me feel good. And what I didn't realize that I was really bringing in the wood element of feng shui. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. bringing in, and people think that plants are earth because it grows from the earth, but it's considered the wood element because it's grounding. You think of the bark, you think of the stems, mm-hmm. and it's healing. It's extremely healing. And so that's an easy way to incorporate, I think, some degree of break and improve your mood, improve your cognition, and help you to chill out is to bring in plants and flowers. The fragrance, aromatherapy, is another way of helping mm-hmm. you to chill out. Mm-hmm. We all kind of are familiar more with more of a common herbs like lavender mm-hmm. and how that promotes relaxation and calm and can even help to enhance your sleep. So having the smells, having the sights, you can always pause and your break could be, I'm going to admire the beauty of this plant. I'm going to admire the beauty of this flower. I'm going to smell, literally stop to smell the flowers. I'm going to have this rosemary that's stimulating and beautifying. Or I need to calm down. You could make a spritz with the lavender and water. And I teach people in the art of chilling out for women how to do that, how to make herbal spritz based on the principles and the different qualities that different herbs promote in our environment. So you spray it like Febreze, spray it like Lysol, and it makes a difference. It helps to cleanse, clear the air, and it promotes very specific things in the air without being, you know, strange about it. This is natural. These are herbs. And they're herbs that most people actually would commonly have in their kitchen. Yeah,
Or could go get easily. Get, right. I mean, and that's another.
And you can grow in herbs that you can also grow.
So. Yeah, that's true. If you're not like me and kill every plant that you
We've got to work on that.
Well, so I have these plants. They are these green, you know, I guess they're the plants that no one can kill. I don't know what they're called, but my mom really likes them. She has a friend of mine in California shipped them to me.
Okay. And they seem to be resistant, drought tolerant.
So they seem to be thriving. My kids named them. And so sometimes they remember to water them. Yeah, so it's Zoom Plant and Karate Rocket are their names.
That's awesome.
So sometimes they remember to water them. Sometimes I end up, you know, if I have some water laying around somewhere, I'll water them and they seem to be all right. But that's about as far as I get with plants. But I love looking at them because you look at them one day, you know, and when we got them, I think we've had it 2 years. They were maybe this small and now they grow. My mom, she'll come over and she'll clip them and she'll prune them and she does that stuff.
That's great. Well, and they change. And that's the thing, they change like us. And that's why it helps to remind you when you bond with nature that you're not alone in the world and that you never will be alone and that we're all connected. We're all part of the same universe. And we're like different properties and different forms, but we're all energetic. And energy that's really positive and enhancing and healing and balancing and harmonizing. And there's other energy that can be very jarring and very abrupt and even negative. So that's why like the gemstones that I include in the art of chilling out for women are part of the chilling out process, because we've all encountered other people or situations and environments that were negative, that were not helpful or useful in our chilling out, relaxation, restoration, peaceful process. So how to deal with that is also an integral part of maintaining your chill. and that's why I call it the art of chilling out, because it's a word. You've got, it's a learned behavior that you can master. You can become, you know, that chilling out queen. And you should be, you know why? Because when you are chilling out, when you're relaxed, I think you're just so much like, but nicer to be around. You're better for yourself, which makes you better for your family and other people that you care about. When you're trying to do too much, when you're trying to prove yourself consistently, when you're absorbing too much negativity and you're not creating the space to complete the cycle of regeneration, of restoration, of rest, then you do burn out, literally. And burnout looks different for everybody. Sometimes it's a medical event. Sometimes it's a mental health catastrophe. Other times it's physical sickness or disease. But either way, it's harmful. It's harmful and self-destructive. I say self-destructive because it's within our power. It's within our control to create the life that we want to live for ourselves. We have to understand that the decisions that we make every day, saying yes, saying no, saying let me think about it, the responsibilities that we take on, all of these choices are under our control. So if we prioritize our health, we prioritize our peace, I ask all of your listeners out there, what does that look like? You know, what changes do you make when you prioritize inner peace?
I love that. So thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is what the book looks like. And so
I love it. You got tabs in there.
I got tabs. So I kept my little tabby thing in here because as I'm going through it, you know, even if I open up a different section, it's like, oh, that's good.
It looks like mine too. Yeah. Right?
And it's always something that I can come back to. If it's something that, like you said, if there's something that I'm kind of dealing with, like I'm feeling X, Y, Z. Let me see if there's something that I can do right now. And if I can't, you know, run off to an island, right? Maybe I can't, but maybe I can buy another plant.
Yeah,
or maybe I can buy the picture of a plant.
Oh, you can actually look at an island.
Or I can look at an island.
You can literally look at a picture of an island and you can go into meditation and creative visualization.
Yeah.
And you can be at that island in that space and create that peace and calm and moment in your life.
I love that. I love that. So tell the people where they can find you, website, sure, social media, if you're doing anything live. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to share that.
Okay. Well, you can get The Artist Chilling Out for Women at any bookstore, your local favorite bookstore, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon. You can learn more about me, AngelaDColeman.com. And you can learn more about my nonprofit, Sisterhood Agenda, at sisterhoodagenda.com. And I am on Facebook and I'm starting my Instagram. That's just for me. But Sisterhood Agenda has a very inspirational Instagram that I contribute to regularly. It's just Sisterhood Agenda.
Nice.
So I encourage you all. Also, we have YouTube videos. We're going to be doing some more videos as well. Just inspiration, beauty, love, self-care. Sisterhood, of course, and looking to link with people who are about that journey, I just want to provide useful information. So mm-hmm. I'm very open to what other people want to hear, want me to speak and write about as well. Connected to a lot of different folks and love to hear from people.
Awesome. Well, you guys check her out. I'm going to keep reading through this book and keep tabbing it because I'm all about chilling out. You guys know me. I'm about putting yourself first. And if that means telling somebody no, period, like no as a complete sentence, and that's what you do. So thank you so much, Angela, for joining me. You guys, I will see you next time.
Well, congratulations. You made it to the end of episode 40, part 2. Congratulations. I'm glad you are here. And like I promised, I have a little excerpt from the book, The Art of Chilling Out for Women, because I thought that this was such a powerful book. And we talked in the interview, we did talk about how this book is not necessarily something that you have to read cover to cover the first time. It is something that can be used as a reference of sorts. And so I just wanted to pull out a couple of sections that really spoke to me as I was reading this book. And I hope that it speaks to you and I hope that it leads you to maybe give the book a shot and see how it'll work for you. And if not, maybe it works for somebody else that you do know. So the way it's set up is there are 100, I believe there's 101 different pieces of this book. And number 28 says, create a heart-filled life. So right off the bat, I love the word create, right? As opposed to just have a heart-filled life. When we talk about creating something, it's the ball's in your court, right? We're not depending on others to make this life for us. It's up to you to create a heartfelt life, just like it's up to you to create a great day, to make it a great day. That's on you. So I love that it even starts that way because the onus is on us. We are responsible for our own happiness. We are responsible for our own joy. And how we make that happen is on us. So I love that it even starts this way. And the very first sentence says, love sets you free. And it really is. It really does. Some of us give away our love so deeply and completely that we forget to save some for ourselves, right? I talk about this all the time when it comes to putting yourself first. This is the reason why I tell busy moms to put themselves first, because we give and give and give that sometimes we forget to keep some self-love for ourselves. And we deserve it just as much, if not more, than the people in our lives. The foundation for healthy relationships with others is self-love. Without it, you are left feeling depleted, empty, and exhausted. Don't despair. You can take it back. Right? So I've talked about this over and over to moms who are just trying to, you know, lose the baby weight, to moms who are trying to start businesses, to moms who are trying to navigate the businesses that they have. You cannot be depleted. You can't. You won't be the best mom you can be. You won't be the best spouse you can be, or employee or business owner or coach or whatever it is that you do, if you're depleted, because the people that are depending on you, the ones that are taking from you, they're not doing it with malcontent. They're taking because you're giving, but you got to keep some for yourself, because if you don't and they continue to deplete you, whether they do it on purpose or not, you will start to resent them, right? You'll look at them and say, I give you everything and I have nothing. When in fact, it is you, my dear friend, that is responsible for making sure that you have what you need, right? It's up to you. And I love that this book lets you know, don't despair. You can take it back. You must. And that is the next sentence in this section of the book. In fact, you must take it back. You start from within, self-love and self-care. We create love in our lives by prioritizing first self-love and then self-care, because you have to love yourself enough to deem yourself worthy of self-care, right? If you don't love yourself, why would you waste the time to take care of yourself? You don't even love yourself, right? So looking in the mirror and acknowledging that you are worthy of love from yourself is super important to self-care. And that's as simple as getting up to work out in the morning or making healthy swaps with your nutrition. You have to deem yourself worthy. So that's where we start. Once we determine that we're worthy, then we can make the decision to do the things that are necessary to fill up our cup, right? Once you determine that you are worthy of time alone, away from your kids, away from your spouse, just to breathe, away from your job, just to be stress-free, then you can start putting things in place. Like, you can't put the, what is it, cart before the horse, right? Or yeah, putting the cart before the horse, something like that. You can't, because then when the wind blows too hard and things get difficult, because they will, I tell this to the ladies that are in my like fitness accountability group, once the wind blows too hard, you got to be disciplined, because motivation ain't going to be it, right? Motivation is not going to keep you there. It may get you started. It might get the ball rolling, right? But you've got to push that thing uphill. You have to be the one to do it, and it has to be done on the days that you don't feel like it. The self-care and self-love and putting yourself first and doing those things that I talk about, even with my time management clients, you've got to want it, and you've got to understand why you want it, what you want out of it, or else when things happen, you know, when it's not rainbows and roses outside, you're going to go back to the way things were because it's comfortable that way. Even though you're resentful and angry and all that other stuff, you're going to go back to it. So self-love, self-care. Let's see. Enhance your love life by filling your sacred heart space with loving energy, images, and light to create an aura so bright, strong, and beautiful that you instantly become a love beacon, attracting all kinds of love. It's coming to you. So be selective. You ain't got to let everybody in your space, because once you start becoming that thermostat and start creating the life that you want, and not simply a thermometer, just reacting to what's around you, then people are going to be drawn to you, right? And it's going to be the people that you want around you, but there's also going to be people around you that are just there to suck more of you out of you, right? So be very selective. You should have that sort of discernment about you, that you can identify, you know, who's here, who's giving and taking as opposed to just taking, right? So I love that. Loving energy, images, and light create an aura so bright, so strong, so beautiful. You're the lighthouse at the top of the hill, right? You're the lighthouse. You are the one showing people what's possible. You get to be that, but that's got to start with you, one, believing that you are worthy of that, that you love yourself enough, two, that you put things in place to put yourself first and fill up your cup, and be willing to share that, to be that beacon of light, because there's somebody out there that needs you, that absolutely needs you. I learned that years ago, when I was first starting to kind of put myself out there as like a fitness coach and an accountability coach, I didn't think I had a story to tell. And as I started surrounding myself more and more with this amazing community of other people that were committed to their own fitness journey and helping others, like they gave and give, and I say gave in the past tense, but they are right here. I'm still, you know, 7 years later, I'm still with these people. They still bring me so much joy and so much life that they help me realize that I've got a story to tell. And even if it's something that seems insignificant to me, it can be everything to somebody who's feeling lonely and down and alone, right? And so that's why I've told you guys this before. This is the whole reason why I have this podcast, is because I realize that no matter what the random things I tell you guys, the random things that I figure out as I'm parenting twin boys who play sports, it's going to help somebody. There's somebody out here doing the same things, similar, right? And once you realize that, you can be that beacon of light too. So here's the affirmation that comes with Create a Heart-Filled Life. I embrace love in all of its forms, bringing me light, brightness, and joy. So I wish that for you. I want you to have that for yourself. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to y'all later. Thank you so much for listening to You Are Worth the Work. If you enjoy this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, review, share, tell your friends, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.